Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Please be seated. St. Mark's Passion account concludes with Joseph of Arimathea taking the body of Jesus from Pontius Pilate, wrapping him in a linen shroud, laying him in a tomb cut from rock, and rolling a stone against the entrance of the tomb. And Mark tells us that Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where the body of Jesus was laid. But they weren't able to do anything about it. They weren't able to anoint Jesus' body, or care for it, or prepare it for burial, for the sun was setting on that Good Friday evening. The Sabbath, during which no one could work, was beginning. So according to the law of Moses, they had to just sit and watch. They couldn't work on that Saturday. So for a day, as the Lord's body rested in a tomb, the women rested as well. But almost literally, as soon as they could get to work, they did. Very early that Sunday morning, even while it was still dark, according to the Apostle John, the women made their way to the tomb to care for their crucified Lord's deceased body. And they went with haste, minds no doubt foggy and clouded with grief and confusion over all the events of the last few days. And in that grief and confusion, it seems that they had forgotten that the body of the one that they were to anoint was sealed in a tomb cut from rock, sealed behind a very large stone. As they went to the tomb, they began asking one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" Not the 11 disciples. They were all in hiding for fear of the Jews who had crucified their Lord and perhaps were now plotting the same thing for his followers. But as they made their way to the garden in which there was that tomb, behold, the stone had been rolled back. Who could do such a thing, seeing that that stone was very large? Was it the chief priests and the elders? Did they steal Jesus' body away, lest he receive one last dignity with a proper burial? Was it Pilate? Did he order his soldiers to seize the body of Jesus, lest he become a martyr around whose memory the Jews might rally and revolt against Caesar? Was it those disciples? Did they do precisely what the chief priests and Pharisees feared by stealing his body and deceiving the people with a report? Whatever the women might have thought or expected when they saw that that stone had been rolled away, they didn't stop walking. They went and they entered the tomb. And there, what did they find? Linen cloths, neatly folded, with a face cloth that had been on Jesus' head, neatly folded by itself. And a young man, sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. But they saw no Jesus. With what they saw and really what they did not see, these women were greatly alarmed, distressed even. But the angel said these blessed words, which we ourselves heard as well. "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." It wasn't the chief priests or Pilate or even the disciples that had rolled away the stone. It was him, the angel, or perhaps his fellow angel, as John and Luke tell us, there were two. They came down from heaven. They rolled the stone away. And the body of Jesus was not stolen by anyone. It was alive. His body, once lifeless in death, was reunited with his soul, and he came out of the tomb by his own strength. Christ is risen indeed. And the women who were the last to leave their crucified Lord on the day of his sorrowful death were the first to arrive at his tomb and hear the good news of their living Lord's joyful resurrection. Having seen the angel, having heard his Easter gospel, they backed out of the tomb and ran away from that place. Trembling and astonishment had seized them over these mighty works of the Lord. And they said nothing to anyone, in obedience to the word of the Lord spoken to them by the angel. For he had told them specifically, go to the disciples and Peter. This is the gospel of our Lord for this joyful Easter day. But as we reflect on this gospel for Easter day, it may seem a little curious. It might be a strange choice. Because in this gospel, for the resurrection of our Lord, we see or hear of no resurrected Lord. We don't find him there. We don't find his words or his deeds. As one Lutheran liturgical commentator puts it, it seems inadequate. But with all due respect to him, I disagree. I think there is great wisdom in appointing Mark chapter 16 as the gospel lesson for this chief Easter divine service, just as there is great wisdom for all the scripture lessons appointed for the various Sundays and festivals in the church year. Our forefathers in the faith didn't randomly throw together Bible passages to be read in church. They deliberately selected those lessons that would instruct and guide us in our weekly and annual walk of faith, as we follow Jesus, dying and rising with him. And so the wisdom in appointing Mark chapter 16 as the gospel for this Easter day is that this gospel lesson reflects our life of faith as Christians, living after Jesus' resurrection and ascension, as we await his return in glory on the last day. We Christians can place ourselves in the final verse of this gospel lesson. Verse 8 is our Christian life on earth. Like the women, we have heard the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, as it has been preached by God's appointed messengers, that Jesus of Nazareth was crucified in our stead for our sins. But he is not dead, he is risen indeed. And he has gone before us to prepare a place for us. And we will see him just as he has promised. But also, like those women as they made their way from the tomb in that final verse, we haven't yet seen Jesus with our own eyes. The promises that he has spoken to us haven't been fulfilled yet, though they will be. And so we go on our way in this life, just like those women. The good news of our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ ringing in our ears, taking root in our hearts, not just on this Easter day, but each and every week as it is proclaimed to us in the divine service. But we go from this place, and as we do, the troubles of this life surround us. Uncertainties, doubts, fears in this life threaten to overtake us. The death of a loved one, an illness that just won't go away. Questions about the economy and inflation, political and cultural upheaval, the threat of international conflict, troubles at work or at school, fighting in the home between husband and wife, parents and children, neighbors and relatives. And Satan pounces on all this. He uses these things to try and shout over the Easter gospel that you have heard. He tries to drown out the good news with his lies. All that talk about an empty tomb, it's just a myth. The Bible and prayer don't really help you anyway. Why bother going to church? The pastors don't care and the people are hypocrites. So he lies, so he deceives, as he has been a liar and a deceiver and a murderer from the beginning. Have you ever listened to that voice? Have you ever heeded the devilish call that would draw you away from the Easter proclamation of Jesus' death and resurrection for you? Have you let the uncertainties and doubts and fears of this life pull you away from Jesus rather than moving you toward him? Have you neglected what God himself has given you to do by prioritizing the things of this earth over the hearing of his worship, the hearing of his word, weekly worship, prayer, and reception of the Lord's Supper often? Have you forgotten what you have heard and received from God in this place for the sake of what the world would tell you and give you? Repent. Repent of those times that you've listened to the voice of the devil over the voice of God's appointed gospel preacher. Repent of those times that you fled from God rather than returned to him, whether because of prosperity or tribulation. Repent of those times you've neglected his worship and disobeyed his command. Repent of those times you've forgotten his promise by not attending to preaching in his word. Repent. But do not be alarmed. Instead, hear again the good news that was preached to those women. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him, just as he told you. Let Satan shout his lies. He will never overcome this gospel of the crucified and ever Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns for all eternity. For this very morning, all throughout the world, Christians from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, are hearing that good news first preached by the angel in the empty tomb, and then responding with one voice this glorious confession, though under many tongues, Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. It's here with the women that Jesus, the crucified one, is now living. Full redemption and atonement has been made by him for you in your place. His blood is the payment for your sins. See with the women the place where they laid him. He is not there. He is risen. The prophecy of Job has been fulfilled. Your Redeemer lives. Christ is really, truly, bodily alive, risen in his flesh and blood from the grave. Go with the women from that empty tomb. Though you might be surrounded by uncertainty, doubt, and fear, carry this good news in your heart. He is risen. Go and tell the others who live in that world overshadowed by sin and death this good news that you have heard. He is risen. And you will see him, just as he told you. Though his promise to you has not yet been fulfilled, it certainly will be. For Christ is true. His promises are true. Like Job confessed long ago, after your skin has been thus destroyed, yet in your flesh you shall see God, whom you shall see for yourself, and your eyes shall behold and not another. For death has been swallowed up in the victory won by Jesus' death on the cross. The grave no longer has sting because Jesus is risen from the grave. And so you too shall rise. And as you journey in your Christian life, walking by faith, bearing your cross, following Jesus of Nazareth, return here. Return to this place. Return here week after week to hear again and again the good news that your Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified for your trespasses, is risen indeed for your justification. For while Jesus was not there, dead in the tomb, he is here. He is here in the washing of rebirth and renewal in holy baptism. He is here in the word of absolution, that is forgiveness, which is just as valid and certain as if Christ our dear Lord was dealing with us himself. He is here to welcome you to his feast, the supper of his body and blood, which is given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins, and to strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. He is here to walk with you on your journey to the place that is even now being prepared by him for you. For where Christ is, his word is. And where his word is, there he is. And so in the end, Jesus was in our gospel lesson after all. He was in that word announced by the angel to the women. And he is in the word which you have heard here as well. Jesus of Nazareth was crucified for you. He is the perfect payment for all your sins. For all the times you've broken the commandments and gone your own way, Jesus was pierced by nails, thorn, and the spear. For all the times you failed to love your neighbor and to pray for your enemies, Jesus was crucified between two criminals and forgave those who did not know what they were doing. For all the times that you've ignored God's word and neglected his worship, Christ was mocked by the crowds and forsaken by the Father. Jesus shed his blood for you, out of his boundless love for you, that you might not die eternally, but have everlasting life with him. His sacrifice, his atoning sacrifice, was indeed acceptable to the Father as a payment for all your transgressions. It is finished, he said on the cross, and so it is. Your iniquities are taken away. Your sin has been atoned for. And the proof that is so is this. He is risen. In this earthly life, we Christians walk by faith and not by sight. Like the women that first Easter morn, you have heard the good news of Jesus' resurrection today. But you do not yet see him with your own eyes. Nevertheless, do not be alarmed. Christ is risen indeed, and he will be faithful to you by keeping his promise to bring you safely to your heavenly home, through death into life, where you will know by sight what you thus far have known by faith. And in the end, he will bring you to the resurrection of your body, and the life everlasting, where you will, like Job, see God with your own eyes in your own flesh. When the perishable will put on the imperishable, and the mortal will put on the immortality. And then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified, but is not lying dead in the tomb. He was not there. He is risen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.